You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This might be a tough question, but of all of the fun themes you've had for your home games, is there one that just stands out in your mind where you're like, this is too much fun, but I'm having a great time with this?
Oh, they're all so fun. Like, it'd be so hard to pick. Listen, I had to say Father's Day last year. It was our second annual Fun Bus Beer Festival. You know, it was Farm Fest, Buffalo Handsome, and it was just a day. Like, it was jammed. It was so cool. I mean, there was cows and chickens there, and it was awesome barbecue. It was great, different IPAs, and Old Crow Medicine Show played after, and people were running around having an awesome time. You know, the team had a great performance. It was just one of those really special days, and you know, continue to replicate that feeling, share that with others. You know, that's our job, and that's the greatest gift that we get to do that. That is just so cool.
Welcome to U.S. Rugby Happy Hour Live. Interviews with the biggest names in American rugby.
The New England Free Jacks, Major League Rugby Champions.
Score! 101 to score!
Here are your hosts, Bill Baker and that other guy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to U.S. Rugby Happy Hour Live. I'm Bill. This is Fitzy. Fitzy, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm fired up for tonight, Bill. How are you?
Oh, me too, man. I'm fired up. I had a coffee like an hour ago, so I'm going wild. it makes me a little tired. So in about 20 minutes, make sure if you don't see me, just send me a text or something. All right. I want to talk about a lot of stuff, but we don't have time for that, Fitzy. I think we need to get right into it. Our listeners are pumped about tonight's show. We have two massive guests, if you ask me, two of the biggest people involved in rugby in America, with Alex Magleby, co-founder and CEO of the New England Free Jacks, and Bill Gorin, the new CEO of USA Rugby, joining us later in the show. So obviously we have a lot to talk about with both of them. Do you have anything you need to say right now, Fitzy, before we get going? You weren't the one that made the mess in the kitchen? No? Okay, good.
I plead the fifth.
The fifth. All right. So another reason why we need to get going quickly is because our first guest, Alex Magleby of the Free Jacks, is sitting at his home right now in the middle of a nor'easter, heavy winds, snow, all kinds of... We'll make it a lot worse. We'll say some of the stuff as well. But we need to get him on right away in case he loses electricity, which tends to happen.
There's an eclipse coming too. Watch out.
An eclipse. And it's actually... He's going to have a really good view of it from his house, I think. He's going to be pretty close to it. I don't know. You know, in brain, I don't know what that means, but close.
This is a rugby podcast, not a
yes.
Whatever.
All right, let's do it. Let's bring him on. Let's welcome Alex Magleby. Hey, Mags.
Hi, guys. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good. Is there a cap on that? Is there a cap on that marker? I don't want you writing on yourself.
No,
okay, good. Things. He's going to take notes.
Good.
All right, so
if I drink beer, I'm going to get more sober based on the caffeine, drinking a coffee if you get tired. Right? Like, this is the logic we're going with
this,
tonight, right?
This is not a science show. We never said that. We can just make up our own facts, right? Alternative facts? Yeah. Okay. All right. This is the most serious part of the show, K-Max. You guys have the best social media group. And I'm going to ask you something leading into this. It's evident that when you look at new players for your team, you also do auditions. And I mention this because you have Yacht Rock Weekend coming up. And I'm going to post it. I'm going to punch this up here. I'm not sure how well it's going to look. This is posted online. Oh, come on, play. Yes. This obviously wasn't this week because we haven't seen sun in the Boston area in a while, but you need to explain yourself.
It's amazing, right? They did a brilliant job. It was so good. We've got the best part. They're just awesome people.
And the choreography.
Great.
I mean, look at this. All right. Get rid of that.
On stage, he did fantastic. A lot of them did. It was great.
It was great. I very much got a Savannah Bananas like vibe.
Yeah, you know, Savannah Bananas are awesome. I mean, they've been on, a bunch of their people have been on our podcast, and they're great. But kind of before they blew up, just to learn as much as we possibly could from others. But really, like, you know, Brendan Buckley is a great content creator. TK really helps on the rugby side, and Scotty just understand the bigger picture, and the players then really get that. And a lot of the guys have been around since the beginning. They just understand what we're trying to do. And if we can create, you know, 8+ match environments a year where people are really excited and they have an awesome time, and then capture that for 30 seconds a day, 365, I think we're doing our job pretty well. And Brendan does a fantastic job working with the players to connect that. And then Ollie Gilpin on our brand side, and just the whole thing. It works really well together, which is awesome.
And it seems to be working for the club. You know, fan engagement's amazing. This year so far, what's been 2 home matches, close to full. Obviously, this is working, and this is something you're going to keep building on. You know, is this something that, I mean, obviously you're excited about it, right? I don't even know what to say there. I get pumped when I see it. When I walk in that stadium, sit in my seats, I'm just excited to look left and right and see all the fans.
Yeah, I love our match day experiences. They're my favorite days of the year. My kids love them. My wife loves them. My old buddies love them. Our fans love them. They're unique and they're fantastic. And I think what MLR can do is really drive towards the intimacy of our sport and the camaraderie of our sport. And that's inherently what we're trying to do in the Free Jacks experience. And it's happening. And that's super awesome.
Well, Alex, just quickly on that, right? Because the other 11 MLR clubs are trying to do it. I'm going to include Anthem in there, even though their story is a little more unique, and we'll get to that in a second there. And obviously, the other clubs are looking around, the owners are seeing what you guys are doing in New England and want to try and replicate it. They can't copy it, of course, but, you know, I don't want to say struggles, but what is it about New England where it just seems like things are clicking there, and maybe in other markets, they're just a little further behind?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the owners and the teams do a great job in different ways. And I think as each team grows their own unique voice and their own stories, you're going to see a lot of that. And a lot of the teams that hadn't necessarily been a focus for them because they've been focusing on other areas of their business. I think you'll see that start to happen, you know, certainly a little bit this year, but as the next years evolve. And New England has always been a great rugby environment. And these are certainly part of the overall ethos of rugby and the culture of rugby, and it's really competitive, but at the same time we're going to have a lot of fun, and that's inherent in our value system here at the Free Jacks and in everything we do, and that is really something that has kind of existed in our sport for a long time, and so I think that is something that we can really invest more in and lean on, because that'll set us apart from other sports entertainment options. I think we're seeing that because people can come to our sport not being familiar with the sport itself, but they recognize a fun, awesome time, you know, kid-friendly, hang out with your buddies kind of a vibe easily. And that's what we're sharing with them. And then they fall in love with rugby. And how cool is that?
Max, you this year, unfortunately, you know, schedule changed, let's say. Schedule is out, and then the announcement of Anthem, and we can talk about that club later in the show. What difficulties did you and the club have to go through? Because you had a lot of stuff scheduled, and obviously you had to make a lot of changes. So talk about you, not just Free Jacks, but other clubs had to do the same similar thing.
Yeah, you know, everybody puts a lot of time and effort, and our business right now is predicated on attendance, paid attendance, mm-hmm. to kind of build this thing. And that's the biggest revenue driver, because that's where a lot of the sponsorship drives towards as well and everything else. And then that's where media eyeballs come to. If people are paying attention to it live, they're going to pay attention to it on TV. Historically, that's been the equation. So it's a really, really important piece of our business. And everybody worked really hard postseason last year to kind of build up for this year. And then you're switching at the last minute, not that you want to. You know, we had, as you, Bill, you know, we had already kind of gone public, and we've already sold season memberships, and we're a month and a half late already on individual ticket sales. Groups have been really affected by that. And then everything else that goes into the match day experience, from bands to other programming elements, just all got delayed. Those things then become more expensive, or you lose them. So it was a challenge, but I think it was a worthwhile challenge given the vicissitudes of kind of a startup league and what happened with our friends at Toronto, New York, and then welcoming in Carolina. I think we were all willing to get over those hiccups to make it all work.
Yeah, and talking about Fitch, real quick. No. In talking about on-field mags, you need to be extremely happy with the way the team has performed. Still top of the East, or tied with top of the East, and you look at certain players like Reese McDonald having an early MVP-style season, LaRue returning. So just quickly talk about the on-field product that you're putting on for your fans.
I think since the beginning, you know, the performance on the field is what was been important to us. But it's never been a KPI that we have to win every game and win championships. And you hear a lot of teams say that, and it's win or bust. We understand we're in a league, and we want it there to be parity, and we want it to be really competitive. But we're going to work our damnedest to be the very best that we possibly can be. And I think that has happened, you know, whether it was Mardo's year when he was the head coach and we almost made the playoffs, and kind of it was a pandemic-y year in 21, 22, kind of building up. And, you know, depending on who you ask, we should have won the championship that year. We did better than we were based on our roster. Who knows? You know, and last year winning the championship against a very good San Diego team by one point, you know, there's some fortune in that, which is awesome. And this year, the team has obviously had a few wins. We've got a lot of work to do, I think. And everybody internally would admit that. But the good news is we have the people in the building who are willing to do that work. And that's a really cool thing. And Scotty and the rest of the staff and TK and just the players that we've had who've been with us, and then the new players who've joined, are kind of all willing to do that work so far. And that's really cool to see. And that's what I'm really proud of. And then the performances on the field will come.
Yeah, and Alex, as you take a step back and look at the seventh year of MLR, certainly you mentioned, you know, Toronto, New York, and I think the league has done they've taken some criticism over some things, but have done a good job of kind of weathering some storms, and fans have stuck around. And certainly the action this year through the first 5 weeks has been fun and intense. Some great matches, some close matches, some individual standout performers. But as you look across the league as a whole, you know, from the ownership group, do you feel like the league is where it wants to be after 7 years? Granted, there was COVID and all that stuff, but after 7 years, do you feel like progress is being made? And
a really good, really good question. You know, first of all, even the matches this last weekend, I mean, how many games went down to the wire? Yeah. And how awesome is that drama? And I think that MLR has delivered drama. There is a lot of parity in the league for the most part, and that is awesome. And games are really competitive. And you see standout performances from new people we didn't know about, or these young Americans coming through, or these old hats, you know, kind of one last opportunity. And so I think the performances have been really, really compelling. There's good drama there. There's, you know, the characters are developing, and we've got this, you know, classic storytelling conflict, and then there's resolution in this mostly dramatic fashion, which I've found really cool. On the Free Jack side, I just wish we'd win by a lot, but so you kind of look back. We weren't part of the first cadre of, you know, in 7 years is crazy, but really the league's, yeah, with the pandemic, and it took out 20 and 21 was kind of a shell of a year based on what most teams could do for attendance and all of those kind of things. So it's really 4 years in. This is our fourth full year. You know, not wanting to speak for other owners and everything else and what their hopes are, but one, we exist, right? I think just that is something that most people said wouldn't be possible. Two, we survived COVID. Three, we see growth in virtually every metric. And not just growth, but like skyrocketing growth. You know, last year on the Free Jack side, our revenue was up 114%. You know, we've seen year over year growth of a third on attendance every year, basically. And that's awesome. You know, and then that whole time we're increasing our spend on product. We actually spend quite a bit on the on-field product as a ratio, way more than we spend on distribution. And, you know, perhaps that changes in time as we build this thing. So to be in where we are right now, 7 years out from a men's World Cup in the United States with a really compelling on-field product, opportunities to improve our broadcast content, and despite that, still having on average 330,000 households on FS1. I mean, those are NHL type of household numbers, despite ourselves, right? So that is really awesome. And we're here, and there's more sophisticated investment coming in. So I think everybody would be quite proud of where this is now. And of course, there are going to be changes again in the future as we build this thing, and some teams may come and go. That happens, and I hope that doesn't happen. And I wish the best for all my partners, and this league continue to grow, not only the audience, but the number of cities and all of those things. But I think everybody should be pretty proud of what's happened here and with rugby, professional rugby in the United States. I think it's amazing. You know, as someone told me when we started this thing, wait a minute, you're starting a startup in sports entertainment, so you're crazy. North America, you're insane. In rugby,
yeah,
it's not possible. And yet here we are, almost a decade in, you know, depending on how you want to measure it, almost 5 years in. And that's really awesome.
You know, Fitzy just mentioned 7 years. When MLR started, was there a 10-year goal? In 10 years, MLR wanted to reach a certain point. What is it, and is it going to be reachable?
Yeah, I can't speak for the league, like on the rest of the owners and everything else. So I guess 10 years from what we're talking about, 3 more years from now, whatever, 2027. I think the way we've always looked at this, there's probably some ratio of the number of people that need to be in the stands. Because our first layer of this is generating revenue through live events. And then you have sponsorship that comes from that and everything else. And eventually there's a media tail to building all those fans. And the brand equity and value and everything else, so that you have the media piece of this is where you get sustainability in sports entertainment. But for now, the vast majority of our revenues come from live entertainment. So kind of the way we've always looked at this on our side, based on capacity and everything else, we probably need 8,000 people over 12 matches paying on average $50 a person, right? Roughly speaking. When do we get there? Well, we're moving there pretty quickly. So 3-4 years from now, that is not crazy on our end for that to happen. Now, whether that's 12,000 people over 8 matches and another venue with slightly lower averages or slightly higher averages, doesn't matter. I mean, the average is, you know, that would still be a standing room ticket at $25 because hospitality takes over a big portion of that. So that's where you get the average, not the median. But that ratio for us, you know, kind of 8, 12, 50, is not crazy far away. And that probably gives us enough revenue on ticketing and then the increase in the sponsorship, that at the very least we're covering kind of the base level costs of operating the product. And that's awesome. And then that gives us a position to be like, okay, now we actually have the eyeballs to really create long-term sustainable media contracts in a crazy changing media landscape. And that is really healthy. And that's, you know, heading into a World Cup, which is really in a lot of ways the leverage, that's the catalyst that changes this, where MLS was the opposite. MLS was on top of a Soccer World Cup in 94. Then they, you know, struggled in the 90s and really, you know, kind of grew out of that. So we got the benefit of heading into doing a lot of this fan development, brand equity, heading into a World Cup, which is very cool.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, Alex, as you talk a little bit about how, you know, more attention is coming to the U.S., right? We've got two Rugby World Cups coming. MLR is growing. TV viewership numbers are going up. That means opportunities, right? And you hear about, like, these investment firms that are kind of, you know, poking in and around rugby. You got CBC and stuff like that. Is there – I'm trying to word this correctly. Like, are there conversations at the league level around, like, an investment firm coming in and, like, dumping a bunch of money in, or are the individual clubs still trying to do this together, maybe expand a little bit more, get the expansion fee up, try and build it sustainably, maybe in the mold of MLS or
are we in a position, or are we contemplating third party investment that is not part of the owner operator structure? Yes. You know, when this originally was built, it was Major League Rugby LLC is the league. The contemplation that there was a sidecar there that is Rugby United Marketing. That's really kind of where the commercial rights sit. That's really been that format now has really been finalized. So there is a place for outside investment to come in and participate in that piece of it, in the league piece of it. There is, of course, those opportunities potentially at the owner operator level. So for us, at the Free Jacks, at the local level, that would then just be the size of the investment and everything. You're not going to see a Silver Lake come into, you know, a one of our teams at this stage, but you may see lower you know, cap, even VC type level companies coming in at the lower level. But the MLR has been out on market for a long time in that regard, and having those conversations quietly, just preparing for the day where that may be the right partner to really leverage us up, where perhaps the owner operators were not prepared to spend that money to really aggregate eyeballs more quickly. And what I mean by that, I think, is, you know, we're all working really hard to build this product at the local level. We're spending a lot on the product on the field, which is great. It's a really good product. But probably, I mean, Bill, you were in the film industry. You know, if you're making a movie and you're spending $100 million on a movie, you're probably spending at least $50 million on marketing and advertisement, if not also $100 million. It almost is a one-to-one ratio. A lot of, sometimes it's more. Where we're nowhere near that in the league, you know, the vast majority of the dollars that we're investing in are investing in the on-field product and the players and their surrounding competition environment, you know, coaches, et cetera. So, yeah, I mean, we probably need some level of resource investment that we haven't yet been willing to invest in, to kind of be that game changing, you know, collection of eyeballs to really light this thing on fire as we approach or come out of a World Cup. So those conversations are ongoing, for sure. It doesn't mean that the league has to, or that the owner operators, but certainly there are the structure is there for the right partner or partners to come in at the league level.
Let's touch on media rights again, broadcast. I think actually one of the first questions I think I ever asked you was about broadcast rights years ago, but what is it going to take? What numbers? You said 330,000 households. Yeah. What will it take for then, say, Fox or ESPN or somebody to come to MLR and bid on broadcasting MLR matches?
Yeah, so if you just look purely on the numbers, right? Like, how many households do we average on sports cable TV? Well, about 330,000 households on the Free Jack side, or about 345,000 households. Sorry, did I lose you? That is higher than the NHL average, but they have 40 of those type of games on sports cable. Right. That is higher than what MLS had before they went to Apple. They had 250,000 households on average. We only have 9 matches on average on FS1, or whatever it is, 8, 7, 9 on FS2, and those numbers are a lot lower. So is there a world where, you know, right now we have, what, 250,000 subscribers on TRN? That's a massive success. Is there a world where we have 1 million subscribers on TRN, our championship has 2 million people watching it here in the United States, and you know, we have 30 to 40 matches kind of in that 400,000 to 500,000 eyeball range, household range. That is a really good thing to invest in, like in terms of like that is that has audience. That money, a lot of money goes into things that aren't quite that, as you can see with what's happened with some of the other sports. So that if we can do that, and it's not that's not crazy. That's not crazy different than right. what you're starting to see happen. And in a lot of ways, despite our own investment, we're not investing heavily in our broadcast, as you guys know right now. I think our team, our MLR broadcast team does a great job for limited resources. Those kind of households and numbers is really compelling. That's a really good narrative for the future. And then, you know, buyers of media have to decide, okay, these are the demographics that we want, that we feel that we can advertise for or sell subscriptions against. And I think you can. I think there is a very good cadre of demographics involved in our sport, and that is growing every day, and well-educated and families and a whole host of other things that, you know, in diverse that make it a compelling group of demographics to sell ads to. So I think that the media play in the future is really awesome. And it's almost a futures contract, because if you sign it, kind of 4 years out of that World Cup in 31, like what you've seen with what's happened with soccer, you know, MLS, kind of those heading into those World Cup years, you see that those contracts being signed a year or two before that big growth. You see the Apple growth hit before the 26 World Cup. I think that is a wise investment for sure.
Right.
Yeah, Alex, as you look at, say, other buckets of revenue for the league or even for individual clubs, you know, one of the things certainly, you know, for a few of us who play this little wacky fantasy rugby stuff or just, you know, like, you know, sports betting and gaming and fantasy, right? That kind of lumping those things into as just other ways for fans to experience, you know, their fandom in their club or their favorite players. It seems like the league is slowly kind of added in standards for clubs to follow, right? Social media and, you know, roster announcements coming out, which are fun to see. Is there a league mandate or requirement for clubs to get it out? Because I ask that question because, you know, with particularly, right, you probably know far better than I, but with sports betting, right, it's hard for bookmakers to odds makers to set a line if they don't know who's playing in the game, if, you know, 48 hours or so before match. So,
Completely get it. So, first of all, because we're sanctioned by World Rugby, everybody who participates in this league, you know, does the World Rugby education on gaming and everything else. So that is inherent, like base level happening. And I'm just not familiar enough with the fantasy, you know, sports landscape and the betting landscape. But what I do know is that any information that is accessible to anybody needs to be accessible to anybody, right? So basically we on our end are doing everything we possibly can to make sure that information is shared. You know, when it is shared, is shared publicly at the same time. And with also protecting the, you know, especially on the medical and injury side, protecting the player, because that's their, you know, personal information. If they want people to know it's a ACL versus, you know, just a leg injury. But, you know, as much as we possibly can, maturing in that process, and hopefully you've seen that over the last few years, that a lot of teams have matured in that way, and the league has mandates about what needs to happen. But certainly it's a really, really important piece to our growth of, again, aggregating more fans. If that's how they want to participate, awesome. Let's make it as safe for people to do that as possible.
Right. And speaking of more fans, Max, you mentioned you can get 8,000 people in the stands every week. You know, right now you have a great region in New England where there's lots of clubs, college, you know, club, that kind of stuff. And you're able to pull in a lot of those players, those former players, those fans. And luckily, I believe a lot of your fans also bring in new fans. So what do we need to do, maybe the Free Jacks specifically, what do you need to do to draw in that non-rugby crowd that maybe isn't being convinced by a former player?
Yeah, and I think, you know, Bill, you've experienced our model. Our model is we've provided a lot of elements around the main event to ensure that if you want to bring a friend who's not familiar enough with rugby, or really doesn't care about rugby, they still have things that they'll come do. And you're like, at the worst case, you know, you can come be a part of the Froze Festival. You can come try a bunch of different IPAs if you want. You can come watch a great band. You can come bring your kids and they'll run around and go to the Explorers Club. You're just in the, you know, kind of the spotlight event. You can get a taste of rugby and decide if you want. You come party after on the field and meet the players, because our sport has accessibility, which again is one of the things that makes it unique. We talked about intimacy. Like, that's not an experience you're going to get, you know, anywhere else in New England at the professional sports level. Oh, and by the way, you're not going to spend, you know, the last game I went to, I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to rip on our brother teams here in the Boston area, but it was outrageous, right? What the cost was to take my family to it. It was an awesome experience, but it was crazy. And I think we have value too. Like, it's like we have a value proposition there. That's a really good narrative. And I think those things are happening and people are realizing that. And like, wait a minute, I get all of this for something that's very reasonable. That's crazy. And then actually they watch the rugby and they're like, wow, that's actually good drama. And I can see them and I can see their faces, but I'm actually right on top of the game and they're hitting each other like that. But they're kind of half safe. And this is what, and they got back up and wow, there's good looking guys in the back, and oh, look at those guys in the front. They look like I did in college. And you know, like, well, I do now, but they can sidestep. They're late, but they can still sidestep. there is a person on the field and a character for everybody. I just think those elements are there. So it's almost, I want to say trick them, but just give options for people to get that access. And then I think what we're seeing is those people are turning into season members. I had multiple people who've approached me saying, I'm a season member now of the Free Jacks. I fell in love with rugby. I came to watch the English Beat, or I came because of the South Beer Festival, right? And suddenly it's like, wait a minute. Like, they had suddenly a reason, an excuse to come in, something that was safe for them that they already knew. And then they got introduced to our great global game. And they're like, wait, this is cool shit. Like, that is awesome.
Nice. Well, go ahead, Fitzy.
Yeah, Alex. Yeah, I was just going to say, Alex, you know, 7 years into the league now, 4 years for the Free Jacks. It's clear you guys are having fun, right? Like, it's in the DNA of the Free Jacks, from everything we've seen, from the fan experience to stuff that's going on social. So, I mean, this might be a tough question, but of all of the fun themes you've had for your home games, is there one that just stands out in your mind where you're like, this is too much fun, but I'm having a great time with this?
Oh, they're all so fun. Like, it's going to be so hard to pick. Listen, I had to say Father's Day last year. It was our second annual Fun Bus Beer Festival. You know, it was Farm Fest, Buffalo Handsome. And it was just a day. Like, it was jammed. It was so cool. I mean, there was cows and chickens there. And it was awesome barbecue. It was great different IPAs. And Old Crow Medicine Show played after. And people were running around having an awesome time. You know, the team had a great performance. It was just one of those really special days. And, you know, continue to replicate that feeling and share that with others. You know, that's our job. And that's the greatest gift that we get to do that. That is just so cool.
One note to our listeners, if you do get to a Free Jacks match and they do have a brew fest prior to the game, don't do what I did the first time. When they give you all those tickets, you don't have to use them all. And they're all double IPAs, pretty much. Well, the one I went to. Let's just say when I got to my seat, I had a good seat, and I just sat there for a while just to try to enjoy the game.
Yeah, man, this is a sharing game.
Alex, man, this is great. Amazing. Again, I love seeing you at all the matches. You're always walking me, usually in a hurry to get somewhere, but you stop for a second, you shake hands with people, you say hello. You're a huge reason why this team's doing so well, and best of luck.
I appreciate the support, and it was great to be on. Fitzy, we'll get you a game soon enough, and
I'd love to.
You know, if I'm a better, I'm betting on long-term MLR. Just going back to that original conversation, just the fact that this gritty league continues to grow and be here and be awesome, it's super cool. We got 7 years to build up to a World Cup, and that's really awesome. So thank you, guys.
All right, Max, good luck digging out.
Awesome. Cheers. Thanks.
All right, cheers. Thank you. Always good talking to Alex Magalby. He's such a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to kick him out because I don't hear what I'm about to say to him. But anyway. Great time. Like I meant that. When you go to a match, he's there. He's walking around somewhere. He's doing whatever. I've seen him go into the beer tent with a ticket. I've seen him come out with a half drunk drink. But great guy and really a great ambassador to the game. He's, you know, we've had him before on the show. He's been involved USA 7's player, 15's player, 7's coach, 15's coach, all that stuff. So mm-hmm. if there's one person that I think has a really good finger on the pulse of domestic rugby, it's Alex.
Hey, listener, we really appreciate you tuning in to U.S. Rugby Happy Hour Live. That was just the first half of the show. Be sure to check out the second half and previous shows here on your favorite podcast player. Also, please like, subscribe, or follow and leave us a 5-star review. That helps get these shows in front of more and more listeners. Now, what are you waiting for? Go check out the other shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.